Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages. Welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Howdy, y'all. Happy whatever today is. Who cares?
It's Tuesday.
What a start to the day, man. What a start to the day. We're just having one, ain't we? Good to have you. Hi, welcome. Don't let my existentialism ruin your day before it even gets going, people. We don't want that. All right. We ain't about that life.
Lack of preparedness can lead to negativity.
No. Yes. But nah, not in this case. This isn't me. This ain't all me, Ricky. Don't you put that voodoo on me, Ricky Bobby. I got a new pooter yesterday, and it's not working with all my stuff. It's just not working with all the stuff. And it's mildly frustrating, but you know what? Here's the deal. Champions, as the old expression goes, rise to the occasion. Play like a champion today. So we slap the sign. We strap on the chin strap. We tie up the cleats real tight. We pull down the jersey. And unlike the Dallas Cowboys, we show up. All right? We show up. We show out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we do.
They were there. They just got beat by a better team.
Can I tell you how much joy I took? Okay, let me scratch that. With that sentence being said by the great one, Lonzo. Let me change that up. Can I tell you first and foremost how much joy I take in the better team being led by Jacoby Brissett? Oh, hell yeah, brother. Jacoby Brissett going into the Big D, and I do mean Dallas, and getting that dub. A fat dub, nonetheless. The Cardinals break a five-game losing streak last night. A five-game losing streak, by the way, if you're keeping track, and I am. A five-game losing streak.
Look at there. I mean, there's a certain receiver that hadn't been noticed a bunch. And last night, someone decided, hey, that guy's open.
Marvin Harrison Jr., good night last night. A five-game losing streak that was by a combined 13 points. Every single one of the five losses was by less than a touchdown. And last night they go on the road, 10-point win. But that's not even my favorite part. And I know that I'm kind of breaking a Rob Brown Show rule here. And by the way, those of you that are waiting on the stream, hang on. Probably going to get it up and going next segment. I got a couple of issues I'm working on fixing right now. Because in the new pooter, we got some technical difficulties I'm working through. So stick with me. Stream should be up hopefully in the next segment. I'll let you know when it goes live. So the best part about the L last night for the Dallas Cowboys, without a question for me, was the fact that Jerry just can't help himself, man. He just can't help himself. It's the best. Jerry Jones was on the Stephen A. Smith radio satellite, whatever, broadcast yesterday. And I'm already, due to both personal and professional reasons, not a fan. That's irrelevant to the conversation. I just needed to get it off my chest.
Of whom?
Of me and other people.
No. Of Stephen A. Yes. Or Jerry Jones.
Yes. Yes is the answer to that. To all of the above. So, Jerry, yesterday, was on the Stephen A. Smith podcast. Nope, broadcast. And they were talking about today's NFL trade deadline.
Oh, this is a show that caused your...
Correct. Friend.
Okay.
Correct. Oh, okay. Because that's what we needed was another 3 hours of Stephen A. Smith. That's what America needed was three more. We don't get enough of him as it is.
If it were you, you'd probably be okay with it.
No, so I got to tell you, even I would get to the point that I go, do we really need 9 hours of me every day? My man's got 3 hours in the morning. Now he's got 3 in the afternoon. And then he just bounces around talk shows at enough. We've had enough, Stephen
A. Smith. You don't love you some you like I thought you did then.
That's just me. Like, I'm good, but I think I would get sick of me after 9 hours of me. All right, whatever. Not the point. So, Jarrah yesterday was on the pod, the broadcast, whatever. And they were talking about the...
Yeah, if he's on the broad, that's a totally different thing.
They were talking about today's NFL trade deadline. And Jarrah, who you will remember, traded Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers before the season started and picked up a good stack of picks in return for it. Probably not what he could have gotten elsewhere.
A player who's played pretty well for them.
Sure. He's not Micah Parsons. So they have resources. And so Stephen A. Smith, talking about today's NFL trade deadline, which comes up, I believe, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, said, do we have anything in place? And Jarrah, without the Cowboys, pardon me, without the Cowboys, I don't know, I'm getting killed this week. Without the Cowboys having released anything, and without any other team in the National Football League having released anything, Jarrah said on that show yesterday that the Cowboys have already completed one trade and that there are likely, probably more trades coming down the pipe for the Cowboys. Which, I mean, I got to tell you, maybe we've got to give Jarrah a little bit of credit. Because if he has been able to pull off a trade, and keep in mind, it doesn't matter if the trade is a big trade or a small trade. When it is the Dallas Cowboys, for a variety of reasons, which we're going to get to in here in just a minute, for a variety of reasons, any trade by the Dallas Cowboys is newsworthy. Not just because of the fact that Jerry made a trade, but if you are the Dallas Cowboys, it is not just that you have the biggest bandwagon fan base in the continental United States. It is the fact that you traded away Micah. The Cowboys fans were distraught about it. Any move that you make is going to be placed under the lens of, did you create a world in which the ultimate end result of that trade, which is whatever the resources of the Micah Parsons trade turn into, did you create a situation where giving away Micah Parsons resulted in at least equality in terms of what you got rid of? Because what you got rid of was the best edge rusher and a generational player in the National Football League.
Yeah, but that guy wouldn't have made a difference last night. It's not one guy.
I'm going to disagree.
And
you don't think
there's no way to prove it. Yeah, I get it. It's the one guy. You double him. And I mean, is he?
And what happens
if you double him?
Somebody else is unblocked.
Yeah, well, on the Dallas team that's not playing well. The rest of the team's not that good. You got rid of one guy, and he would not have helped you win last night.
I don't know why the defense of Jerry Jones in this move. It was a dumbass move.
No,
objectively, it was a dumb move.
It's one guy. It's an edge rusher. It's not like a quarterback. It's not like he traded Dak Prescott for Shedeur Sanders.
I'd like for you to go look at this year's draft class and tell me what the most drafted position in the first round was. I'd like you to go look at the top non-quarterback, top paid players in the NFL and tell me what position most of them are. They're all edge rushers.
That doesn't make it the most significant.
General managers in the NFL think it is.
So if there's an abundance of a certain position and they're taken because they are the best people in the draft, that doesn't mean that what you're saying is true.
Okay, forget the draft then.
It's supply and demand.
You're right. Forget the draft then. The top all of the top highest paid players in the NFL that aren't quarterbacks are all edge rushers.
Who's the second best edge rusher in
the
NFL?
I don't know. I can make an argument that it's T.J. Watt.
Okay.
I can put him in the mix. I can put Bosa in the mix.
Do
you think they're just as good? No, can they win? Are they as good? The answer is no, Lonzo.
We were talking about whether they would have won last night.
No, I'm not.
That's what I was talking about.
Fine.
I don't know what you were talking about.
What I was talking about is the Cowboys going up to the trade deadline and why Jerry saying on the Stephen A. Smith show that he's already made a trade and there's at least one more coming down the pipe is dumb. And I don't believe him. And the reason for that is there's not a world unless Jerry did a trade unilaterally and without speaking to anyone else in the organization, which that part is plausible. That part is feasible.
I think it's awesome that he's got you, like everybody else, talking about Dallas.
Cool.
Which is what he wants.
As I've said, I don't mind doing it.
He's got you talking about Dallas and Stephen A.
Cool.
Smith.
You
got God again.
I don't mind doing it. Because if that is priority one for Jerry, what does that mean? His team's going to keep sucking booty cheeks. Cool. Congrats, Jerry. I hope you make all of the money, buddy. I hope that me taking time out of this show to talk about this, I hope it makes you a gazillion dollars. I hope that you get Bezos levels of rich. Because as long as that is your priority, this is what I said 6 weeks ago when Jerry made the comment of, I'm going to make sure we're front page news. I hope you do. I will help you do it. I said it then, I'll say it now. I will help you keep the Dallas Cowboys as a numero uno topic of conversation in the sport talkiverse. Why? Because if that is your priority and your objective, and leading up to the trade deadline, when we already know that there are teams willing to make moves because teams are making moves. The Baltimore Ravens have added what now? I believe 3 defensive players, including a pair of guys who are borderline Pro Bowlers to their defense. So the general manager of the Cowboys, with less than 25 hours until the trade deadline, at a trade deadline where there are sellers to be selling and buyers that are outbidding you already, you are taking an hour out of your day to sit on the Stephen A. Smith pod. That's what your general manager is doing, Dallas Cowboy fans. Your GM, with 25 hours to the trade deadline, is going on a pod and saying, I've made a trade. He's not telling you who it is, what they traded, what position. No. And this is why I don't believe him. Because with less than 25 hours to the deadline, and he says, I've made a trade, and nobody has any report or knowledge of what it is, what that has to mean is that Jerry, unilaterally and without speaking to anyone outside of his circle of trust in the organization, has to have made a deal with another NFL general manager and convinced that NFL general manager to ensure that they don't report the trade. Let me ask you this. Of the 31 other general managers in the NFL, do you think any of them are going to have made a trade with the Dallas Cowboys and then they're just not going to say anything about it with less than 25? At that point when Jerry said it, there was 25 and some change hours away. Last night throughout Monday Night Football, we were well inside of 24 hours down to like 17 hours to go until the deadline. So in what world did Jerry make a trade and have another one in the books?
So you're angry because you don't know what it is.
No.
There's a lot of people angry because he said that he made one.
No.
And he didn't tell anybody what it is, and they're all mad about it. So if there's a monumental trade today, then you have to come back tomorrow and say, hey, I was wrong. I don't know. I understand why Jerry Jones didn't say what it was.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Because he still has, between here and 4 p.m., he's still got, he's sitting on, I'm bad at math, less than 10 hours. Until the trade deadline, he could be working the phones right now. There is a difference between saying, I've done a thing, and then doing the thing between here and the deadline. Again, maybe he did. What I'm saying it is, much like I don't believe conspiracy theories about the NFL being rigged, because it is, in my opinion, impossible to keep a conspiracy theory of that size that necessarily involves that many people. Somebody's going to blab. Somebody's going to mess up. Somebody's going to get into a signal chat and drop some classified info one day. It's just going to happen. So when everybody, either because they love him or they love the downfall of him, follows what the Dallas Cowboys are doing. You can't convince me that there's a world that Jerry Jones pulled off any trade and zero of it gets out. It's not possible. And so the point that I'm making here is I enjoy the drama from the outside, and I am happy to give Jerry what he wants and keep the Cowboys front and foremost in the conversation. I don't care if Jerry makes more money. At the end of the day, the amount of zeros in Jerry Jones' bank account has no impact on my life, with the exception of billionaires driving up the cost of everything. But that's a story we'll talk about with YouTube TV later on, because some of y'all were big mad last night. I was big mad last night. My wife was real big mad last night. We'll talk about that. So, outside of that, the amount of zeros in Jerry's bank account doesn't impact my life at all. And so if he wants me to help him promote his team to make more money, that's fine, because his team keeps sucking. They keep accomplishing nothing. That's one more team. And granted, I don't even worry about my own team right now because we're ass too. But that's one less team that I genuinely dislike that I have to worry about. Am I going to have a miserable offseason because those miserable ass fans are going to get a Lombardi? Not when Jerry's in charge. I think Jerry Jones lied yesterday. And the ultimate point of all of this to me is not that I particularly care about moves that the Dallas Cowboys make moving up to the deadline. What I care about, and I don't know why I have suddenly, as much as I literally just called them obnoxious and said I hope they never win another Lombardi, I don't know why it is I have reached this level of, I guess, like sympathy for Dallas fans. Like, I think it's sympathy for the devil here, because your owner / GM has not only not won anything for 30 years, but he actively tells you on the daily, I've won nothing for 30 years and I'm not changing a damn thing.
Yeah, there are other teams that are in the same situation. I don't feel sorry for them. You play the game, you win, you lose, you make choices, things like that. Dallas ain't never, they're never going to get me. Jerry Jones ain't never going to get me. He owns the team. He can do what he wants. They suck. It's his fault. I don't care. I'm not going to be sucked into that.
Okay.
And I'm disappointed that you've been sucked into that.
Again, I don't know if
Was the adding of the is it because Stephen A. Smith got added into it? Is that what got you in there?
No, I don't. Maybe I haven't communicated it clearly enough. I enjoy this. And I am, I'm not sucked into it. I am kicking the door open and running into it. I have said, and I'll say again, I will help Jerry Jones keep his circus on the front page of every newspaper I can. I'm happy to help. And I'm happy to help for two reasons. Number one, it means that as a football fan, I don't ever have to worry about the Dallas Cowboys being a threat. On the flip side, I'm happy to help because I do. I think I know what it is. My sympathy comes from the fact that I work with two Cowboys fans. The big boss is a Cowboy fan. And our afternoon comrade and colleague, Cole Bryson,
Cole
is a Cowboys
fan. Cole has no sympathy, neither does Mark, for your Saints. So why would you have sympathy for their Cowboys?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm just a kind, compassionate, and caring person.
You know, that's you.
I'm
sure
kind,
are.
Compassionate, and caring.
You exhibit that every day on the air.
I do. I absolutely do. I'm doing it right now. I feel bad for them. I'm happy to keep Jerry on the front page because that's what Jerry wants. And as long as Jerry's getting what Jerry wants, Jerry's not going to change a damn thing. And as long as Jerry doesn't change a damn thing, the Cowboys aren't going to change at all. I also feel bad for the people who follow him. At the end of the day, what everybody's going to be looking for out of the Dallas Cowboys is very simple. Is this team, under Jerry Jones as GM, going to end up at the end of this trade deadline with a package of players as a result of the Micah Parsons trade that brings them close to level footing with what they gave away by ticking off Micah Parsons unnecessarily and not paying the guy? Are you going to end up in that same boat? And Jerry, I think, is trying to convince Cowboys fans leading up to the deadline that yes, the answer is yes. And I think he's lying to them bold-faced. I will say this. The one thing I will go after anybody for in the world of sports, lying to your fans. I think it's egregious, and I think it's not okay. And I think Jerry's doing that right now. All right, we'll talk more about this. A lot of trade deadline talk. College football playoff rankings coming out today. What do they look like? All that and more. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I am chill, man. I'm just a chill dude, you know?
You just say you're having a morning. So,
laid back, I mean, maxing, relaxing, all cool, shooting some b-ball outside of the school. Lonzo just handed me a cough drop that has absolutely kicked me in the throat. That's just full endorsement of, what is that? Full endorsement of Vicks VapoCool Severe Menthol Oral Anesthetic Max Strength Fast Relief Soothe Sore Throat. Wild cherry flavor. I don't know why. Scratch that. I don't know why. It's because it got cold this week, and I think it's real winter this time. So this past Sunday, 2 days ago, the wifey and I on Sunday, I had to work Friday night. I did a show on Saturday. I had to work Saturday night. Sunday was the only day, and I'm also going to work this Friday night and this Saturday and this Saturday night. So basically from Sunday to Sunday, after the wife had been out of town for like 4 days, Sunday was our only day to, you know, do family stuff, us and the two puppers. So we went up to Grandfather Mountain in North Carolina, which if you've never been, I highly suggest it. I had never been before. We went up there to go to Linville Falls on the Blue Ridge, but it's closed. They haven't opened it since Helene hit last year. And so we ended up going like another 20 minutes north to Grandfather Mountain. And it was a great day. Like, it's a beautiful day. And they had this very cool, like, steel cable hanging bridge that is precisely 1 mile above sea level. Gorgeous view. And you can just, like, walk up to the side of a mountain. And when I say the side, I mean, you walk up to the edge, and it's a cliff. It falls out from under you, and it's just straight down. Unbelievable experience. However, at the top of the mountain, which is a mile above sea level, it's a solid 15 degree colder than whatever it is on the ground. And so we went from like a beautiful spring day, well, fall day, like a beautiful fall day to like winter, just like that. And it messed me up. So the nasal passages are all congested. I was for a minute there breathing and trying to do the show out of one nostril. Zoe hands me a cough drop. I said something about it when we went to the break. So I was like, here, try one of these. Pop that bad boy in. I mean, 3 seconds later, I'm breathing like a pro athlete over here, man. It's great. Like, this is completely irrelevant and probably detrimental to the radio show, but full endorsement for the Vicks VapoRub Max Strength Severe Kick You in the Nads cough drop.
There's a downside to it, though. Once it's gone, it's gone, and things just, like, immediately come back.
Oh, okay. Well,
at least for me.
I may be buying that bag off of you then.
It may not for you.
We'll see. All right. So, NFL trade deadline coming up today. We have got a lot of updates that, well, we have only had a couple of updates so far, but I expect that we will get a lot more updates later on. The ones we have right now, the Ravens have already made a couple of moves. The first one that they made was to acquire Draymond Jones in a trade with the Titans. The Titans are going to be big-time sellers today. I kind of think they have to be, and I really do feel bad. I feel bad. The new computer's a touchscreen. I just accidentally found that out. I accidentally touched the screen and it started scrolling.
That's not
good. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, that's not going to be good for you.
No, that's great for me.
No, you're gonna. That means you're going to be poking the screen hard. And you,
means it's bad for Chris. You it's great for me.
The green line or blue line on your phone, whatever that was.
I mean, the phone's made for that. We'll see. We'll see if I do this. The Ravens acquiring Draymond Jones from the Tennessee Titans. I think the Titans are in a group of teams, much like the New Orleans Saints, that you just have to be a seller. And I feel bad. I feel bad predominantly for Cam Ward, to be honest. I'm not even totally sold on Cam Ward. Like, I've been hot and cold, hot and cold. I've been in an off-on relationship with my belief in Cam Ward. I also feel bad for Mike McCoy, who got promoted to Titans head coach this offseason. Because this team is one of the teams that I truly and genuinely believe is an institutional problem that they have. This is an institutional problem that they are dealing with. This is not that they have a bad roster. It's why they have a bad roster. It is not that they are a bad team. It is why they are a bad team. Mike Bergonzi, their GM, and the GMs that have preceded are just not good at their job, man. And you want to know how I know that? Let's do a quick check-in. The Tennessee Titans had a cat by the name of Mike Vrabel as their head coach. They ended up divorcing from Mike Vrabel, and they placed the fault of the lack of success of Tennessee under Mike Vrabel on Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel leaves. He goes and takes over another team that has been bad for a while now. The Patriots have been bad. You can say whatever reason you want to say. The Patriots have been bad since Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay. That's when they got bad. They were bad the next year, and they have been bad since the next year. They have moved on from Bill Belichick. They brought in Gerard Mayo. That was a failure. They move on from Gerard Mayo. They bring in Mike Vrabel. Hey, quick check for those of you who may have been checked out of the New England Patriots. Zoe, pop quiz. How are the Patriots doing this year?
I think they've got like a 5 or 6 game winning streak or something like that.
Yeah. The Patriots are, ladies and gentlemen, and this is empirically true. You can do the research if you'd like. 7-2 and are number one in the AFC East. And you might go, Rob Brown top in their division. Is that really a big deal? I'd like to remind you, who else is in the AFC East? That would be the team with the second or third shortest odds, depending on the book, preseason to win the Super Bowl, the Buffalo Bills. And OBT Dubs, they're number one in the AFC East above the Buffalo Bills because 2 weeks ago, they just straight up beat the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. Mike Vrabel was not the problem. The Titans are the problem. So this is another case of institutional problems. And now the Titans are sending guys out of town. This team's going to get worse. Now, the point of a day like today, if throughout the course of this day, I imagine, we'll see, that Lonzo is going to break the glass at least 2 to 4 times today with trades that happen while we were on the air. I assume the majority of the trades are going to happen later on this afternoon after we are off the air, and that the majority of our NFL trade deadline discussion will take place after we're off the air and then going into tomorrow. We'll see. What I do know is there's a lot of sellers. There's a lot more sellers than I thought there would be. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that every bad team is going to be a seller. For instance, I don't think the Jets are going to be big sellers. They may move from a piece or two, but I don't think it's fire sale city for the Jets. I think the Jets are relatively confident that they're closer than they are further away. Now, they may go ahead and stockpile so that they can make a run at a new quarterback in the draft next year. But I think that they're going to largely stay put. I don't know that the Browns at 2-6 are necessarily big sellers. Why? I don't know that they have much to sell. They just don't have the pieces to do anything with. The Titans are sellers.
So you don't think there's anyone out there who's going to trade for Shador?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe like, I'll put it this way. If I could get Shedeur Sanders for a seventh rounder, I'd probably consider that if I'm on a team with zero depth, but a team that also, see, I don't even know. Like, let's say you're a team that has your starting quarterback, but no depth. What's more likely to make a move for Shedeur? A team that is a contender and has a quarterback and no QB depth, or a team that is a joke and has no QB depth and maybe not even a starter? Is he the type of guy you get to keep on board as a genuine emergency backup, or is somebody going to be willing, since clearly the Browns are at least right now committed to Dylan Gabriel, is Shedeur the type of guy that if you just don't have a quarterback, you go get him for a seventh rounder and you'd be like, all right, kid, you're going to get your chance here in whatever town.
Yeah, because it's also a surge of fans in the last half of the season.
We talked about this during the draft. Here's the other aspect of that. If you bring Shedeur in and he stinks, and you bring in with Shedeur just a caravan of bandwagon fans, like Shedeur fans, not your team fans. They're Shedeur fans and Shedeur's on your team. If he comes in and he's not very good, he glimpses, but he's not very good, and then you bench him, you realize that, like, now you are the center of a bunch of negative publicity. And I'm not saying that's good or bad, but, like, Shedeur is followed around by a lot of conversations that don't have a lot to do with football. Conversations that have to do about race, that have to do about culture, that have to do about, Deion. Like, there's a lot of baggage that comes with that for you to roll the dice on. Maybe Shedeur's a dog, because I think it is more likely he's not than he is. Not that it's 0% that he is. It's just more likely he's not. And that's true about every quarterback. That's why there are so many guys that don't work out and very few that do. Do you roll the dice and bring in a Shedeur Sanders who maybe he's a star, probably is not, and know that if he comes in and you give him a shot and it doesn't work out and you bench him again, now there's going to be Stephen A. Smith out there making claims about race like he did 2 days ago with Mike McDaniel, whose father is African-American.
Well, here's the thing. If you bring him in and you're already a bad team and he doesn't win, you draft a quarterback, you say there's a quarterback competition, and may the best man win.
I don't disagree. That's what Cleveland said. And nobody believed him.
Yeah, nobody believed it.
But that's my point. Yeah. That's my point. If people are
Do you believe there was a quarterback competition there?
I do. I just think it was handicapped.
I don't.
I think it was handicapped. You know, I think it's a race, but they gave one guy a 5-step head start. Now, and this is why I said, I didn't even hate it for Shedeur. Hey, man, look, you know where you are. You've got to beat Dylan Gabriel, and then you've got to beat, who was the other guy on the roster? Kenny Pickett.
Well, and Joe Flacco.
And then you've got to beat Joe Flacco. Yeah. And that was you've got to beat another rookie. Then you've got to beat a not good but vested NFL vet. And then you got to go beat a 41-year-old guy who's won a Super Bowl. And if you do that, you're the starter. I don't know if any other team wants to run the risk of doing that. He doesn't make it, you bench him, and now you got to deal with Steven and Dion and a bunch of bandwagon fans. I don't know. We're going to talk a lot of NFL trade deadline today. College football playoff poll due at 8 p.m. tonight. We'll talk about what that will and should look like later in the show. What does South Carolina look like after they've moved on from Mike Shula? I got some thoughts on that. All that and more as we roll on through the four most electrifying hours of sports talk entertainment, the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. For those of you looking for the internet stream, sit tight, working on it right now. For those of you that are regular texters to the radio program or callers to the radio program. That is up and available for you right now at 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. If you would like to get at us in that direction, can read them on the air and can put you on the air. 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E is the number. So we're talking a bit of NFL trade deadline here in the opening hour of the radio program. Again, we've had a few moves that have been made so far. Not much. The Ravens have added a couple of players. They've added Draymond Jones in a trade with the Titans. They have added Jalen Phillips in a trade with the Miami Dolphins. So a couple of inside dudes for the Ravens that are going to hopefully contribute, well, if you're a Ravens fan, hopefully contribute to the progression of the defense, which has been a bit of a problem for Baltimore through that losing streak. Again, didn't have Lamar Jackson, but even still, can't be giving up 28s and 35s. Even if you do have Lamar Jackson available to you. So that's one of the moves that have jumped. That's one of the moves that has jumped so far to the forefront. We are going to obviously be tracking what else happens around the NFL on deadline day. We don't really have a lot so far. We don't really have much in the way of moves so far. I do think you are going to see a lot of moves down the line. I do think you are going to see a lot of trade deadline talk this afternoon. I think there are probably more sellers than people expect there to be. I don't know what the market looks like because, honestly, I think you might be shy on buyers. I think you might be shy overall on buyers to the NFL trade deadline. And I wonder what that means. I wonder how that's going to ultimately work out. I wonder what it means in terms of teams that are good and not good. I wonder what that means in terms of the overall standings and who might be, you know, maybe a mid-pack type of buyer. Is Buffalo a buyer? These are the type of teams that maybe don't have a ton of resources but feel like they're close. There are spots that you have to ask if you're a general manager. Are we close enough now to justify mortgaging the future, mortgaging next year, mortgaging the next 2 or 3 years to make a run now? If I was looking at teams that I would question, are they in that mix? The Buffalo Bills, are they close enough that you would mortgage the future? I'm going to keep it a buck with you. The answer for me is yes, because you haven't gotten to the promised land with Josh Allen yet. And there are a lot of us that believe already right now, today, this moment, Josh Allen is at least in the conversation for, if he is not the top dude on the list of most talented quarterbacks who don't have a Super Bowl ring. I think he's at the top of that list. I don't think you're going to find many, if any, people that are going to say he's not one of the top 2 or 3 quarterbacks, just raw talent, not to have a ring. Granted, he's still playing and he's still very good. But I have also made the call over the years that there is a point, as loyal as Josh Allen has been to Buffalo, there's a point where I think if you're that good, you look at it and you go, all right, I'm out, right? Like, I think I've had enough. I think I'm good here. Go ahead and get me on down the road. We're going to have that conversation in baseball later because Paul Skenes is a Cy Young finalist in the National League, and the Pirates have done absolutely nothing to get better around him. Buster Olney had a very interesting take on the Rich Eisen show yesterday where he said, Paul Skenes is not the type of dude that says, I can't win here, get me out of here. But I would encourage him to be. And I think it's a fair take. So we're going to talk about that later. But I do want to say that when I look at Buffalo, I think that there is somewhere down the line, I think that there is a moment, I think that there is a spot where Josh Allen says, I got to go. And so if I am running this organization, I think I mortgage the future now to give me the best chance that I have at getting Josh Allen a ring in Buffalo to keep him in Buffalo.
Well, what do they need?
I mean, I would certainly think you need to add to a pathetic defense. Like, they should be doing what the Ravens are doing.
Defense didn't look too bad to me the other night, but...
Against Carolina or against Kansas City?
Against Kansas City.
I mean, you know, yes, you're up against Kansas City. It's also a fight. Like, your offense is playing well. You're not wrong, but overall, cumulatively, this year, Buffalo's defense has been paper thin. Maybe they're going to get better. Maybe there were injuries and guys are getting healthy and whatever. Maybe some schemes have changed. Maybe Buffalo does that thing that some football teams do, Mike Shula, that they realize what's not working and they stop doing that and they figure out what is working and they do that more. Maybe that's the case. However it plays out, I think Buffalo is a team that needs to be a buyer because I think there comes a point where you've got to at least be able to end a season and have your, I was going to say once in a decade, but maybe like thrice in a decade quarterback Josh Allen, feel like you're trying. Because what changes has Buffalo made in the past few years that he could have that opinion? Like, what have they done to get better? Not much. Like, they've stumbled into guys like James Cook. But outside of that, they drafted Keon Coleman. Like, that's about as good as it can be. The Steelers at 5-3. They're two games up on Baltimore. You ready for the hot take? I still think Baltimore might win this division. I still think they can win this division. With Lamar being back, now adding to the defense in the spots that they were thinnest at and least productive at, I think the Ravens still win this division. Now, the question mark is going to be, does Pittsburgh do anything to keep up with Baltimore? Does Pittsburgh do anything to counter the moves the Ravens are making right now? Do they do anything to first off, like, I know you've got a running back, but your running back depth is not as nice as I'd like it to be behind a 41-plus-year-old Aaron Rodgers, who's playing well. This is not taking away from Aaron Rodgers. But I like to see the run game better.
He's playing so well, no one's talking about him.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, again, if I have criticisms about the Steelers, it ain't Aaron Rodgers. I think they're a...
It's actually their defense.
I would say their defense needs to be upgraded too.
They need some help on defense for sure.
But right now, I would be willing to take a flyer, and I don't know what the number is. I know it's going to be plus money. I'd be willing to take a flyer right now that the Ravens win the NFC North, or excuse me, AFC North, unless the Steelers make a couple of moves. Do they counter? The Colts are 7-2. I don't know that the Colts really need to make any moves. And the thing is, whether it is with Danny Dimes, which right now it looks like it is, whether it's with Danny Dimes or whether you keep Danny Dimes and you try to find your QB of the future because it's not Anthony Reid. Let's not pretend Danny Dimes is 50, right? But if you want to start looking to the future, I don't think the Colts need to make any moves. I think they can stay pat and still win this division. You know who I do think needs to make moves today? Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville. Because I think we've seen, even though it did take overtime to beat the Raiders, the two teams that beat, they were on a three-game win streak with wins over the Niners and Chiefs as two of them. Then they lost to a good Seattle team, and then they lost to a good Rams team. The Rams are currently sitting, in a two-way tie for first. There are three teams with six wins, but the first two teams, the Seahawks and the Rams, have had their bye. The 49ers haven't, so they're 6-3 and third in the division. But the Rams are tied for first in the division right now. That's a good team. The Seahawks are tied for first in that same division. So the Jags lost two in a row. It took them overtime, but they came off the snide on the road at Las Vegas. They have got the Texans. Who knows if C.J. Stroud is going to be available or not in concussion protocol. With all of that being said, the Jags could make moves today, because I don't think that they are, in any way, shape, or form, necessarily out of the race for the AFC South. Now, they're going to have to do some work to catch the Colts, but the Indianapolis Colts have arguably the most difficult back half of the schedule in the NFL. Certainly one of the top three or four toughest back halves of the schedule. The Jags don't. They've got like the sixth or seventh easiest schedule down the stretch. The Jags, just by schedule strength alone, they are two games back of the Colts. By schedule strength alone, I think they're in the mix. Travis Hunter's going to be out for a couple of weeks now, which takes the big play weapon out of Trevor Lawrence's hands. I don't know that there are going to be many, if any, like playmaking wide receivers available at the deadline, But if I'm the Jags, I'm calling everybody to find out. I'll tell you who I'd love to see the Jags go get right now. If I'm a Jags guy, go get Reed Shaheed out of New Orleans. Go get the 9-route flyer out of New Orleans. Let him be kind of a guy who's developed into the role of a primary for Kellen Moore's offense. Let him be your primary for 2 or 3 weeks until Travis Hunter comes back. Then make Travis Hunter your primary and let Shaheed be the guy that pulls the top off the defense and opens it up for Travis Hunter. That's a move right there that I think instantly makes the Jags better.
Chris Olave, a movable part?
Olave's a movable part. I think the number of guys on the Saints who aren't movable is very low. I think Kamara's not movable, not because he's good anymore. He's not. Like, Kamara's lost the battle to Father Time, and it is now very obvious to me. I love Alvin Kamara. Kamara's not a movable part because, A, he does not want to go anywhere, and, B, because for a team that is already at a spot where they are on thin ice with their fan base, granted, if they want to move long-term, absolutely move Kamara. But for a team that's already on thin ice with the fan base, moving Alvin Kamara, who is an icon and legend and does not want to leave, would be kind of a death blow to that. But I think Olave is available. I think Shaheed is available. I think both of them are available. If I'm the Jags, I'm making calls to New Orleans today to get one of those two guys out of there. I think the Chargers are a team I'd like to see make a move. Here's the thing. The Broncos are 7-2. The Broncos are currently first in the AFC West. The Broncos are on a 6-game winning streak. Listen to some of these wins. They beat the Eagles by 4. They beat the Jets by 2 in one of the lowest scoring games in the NFL. They beat the Giants by 1. They beat the Cowboys by 10, but there was a garbage timer in that one. It really was by 3. They beat the Texans by 3. Like, the Broncos keep getting into and winning close games. But at some point, if you're playing with fire, you're going to get burned. I think the door is open for the Chargers, but I think they need another piece or two. I think they're in the mix. And I'll be honest, though, I think your Chiefs should probably be a buyer right now, too.
Well, they need to be.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure for what. I guess more defense. Because offense pretty set. Well, all right, linemen. I mean, if you get a lineman. I mean, they went like through 3 or 4 during Baltimore, although Josh Simmons just came back. So that's going to help a bunch.
Yeah.
But still.
And I would also point out that your team has got a pretty good haul of picks they're sitting on, because you traded some guys like Thuney, et cetera. You've got a pretty good haul. L'Jarius Sneed was traded. Like, you've got picks available. I think the Chiefs should be a buyer right now. And I think it is likely across the D-line. You've got what? I think you've got 3 defensive linemen you started the season out with that are out for the season now. Like, you need some depth. I think the Chiefs ought absolutely be buyers at this point. Over in the NFC, Cowboys should be buyers. Is or is they not? I don't know.
Well, they are, because Jerry said they are.
Oh, yeah, they already made a trade. Haven't you all heard about it? You know, the team that is the least best in the NFL at keeping secrets. Like, haven't you heard about it? I would say, and the North is interesting because you got, again, much like the West, I got 3 teams tied at 5 wins. All of them should be buyers. None of them should be. Oh, and by the way, 3 teams tied with 5 wins, and the 4th place team has 4 wins. Like, all buyers? Does anybody punt on this division? Hey, we have like a 25% chance of winning this division. Let's punt. Let's stack. Let's get ready to make a run at it next year when teams thin out a little bit. Are the Carolina Panthers buyers? We were talking about them being sellers last week, but the win over Green Bay, you're now 1 game back in this division, and the Bucs don't have their top 2 receivers for at least another 6 or 8 weeks. Are the Panthers buyers? I would say yes. I don't know if you got the resources for it.
The Panthers could probably use more defense for sure.
Absolutely. Although they do have Christian Roseboom. It's my new favorite name in sports. Second only behind Sports Flash Alonzo.
Yeah, that sounds like Clemson Bob or something. I don't know if I like that. The Arizona Cardinals knocked off the Dallas Cowboys last night, 27-17. Jacoby Brissett started in place of the injured Kyler Murray, going 21-31 for 261 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott completed 24 of his 39 attempts for 250 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 pick, but was sacked 5 times. The Atlanta Braves have promoted bench coach Walt Weiss to the role of manager, replacing the retired Brian Snicker. Weiss was the manager for the Rockies from 2013 to 2016, going 283 and 365. So That's not a winning record. The first college football playoff ranking will be revealed this evening. Top five conference champions, the next seven highest ranked teams at the end of the season will be invited, but this year will be straight seeding, meaning the top four teams, regardless of conference championship status, will get first round byes. And I just saw a video where they all hung up their hats. They're in the room. Let's go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.